sighed the wizard, sitting down in a chair. I wanted to catch you and have a few final words. I suppose you feel that everything has gone off splendidly and according to plan?
Yes, I do, said Bilbo. Though that flash was surprising, it quite startled me, let alone the others. A little addition of your own, I suppose.
It was. You have wisely kept that ring secret all these years, and it seemed to me necessary to give your guests something else that would seem to explain your sudden vanishment.
And would spoil my joke. You are an interfering old busybody, laughed Bilbo. But I expect you know best as usual.
I do, when I know anything. But I don't feel too sure about this whole affair. It is now come to the final point. You have had your joke and alarmed or offended most of your relations, and given the whole shire something to talk about for 9 days, or 99 more likely. Are you going any further?
Yes, I am. I feel I need a holiday, a very long holiday, as I've told you before. Probably a permanent holiday. I don't expect I shall return. In fact, I don't mean to, and I have made all arrangements. I am old, Gandalf. I don't look it, but I'm beginning to feel it in my heart of hearts. Well preserved indeed, he snorted. Why, I feel all thin, sort of stretched, if you know what I mean. Like butter that has been scraped over too much bread. That can't be right. I need a change or something. Gandalf looked curiously and closely at him.
No, it does not seem right, he said thoughtfully. No, after all, I believe your plan is probably the best.
Well, I've made up my mind anyway. I want to see mountains again, Gandalf. Mountains. And then find somewhere where I can rest, in peace and quiet, without a lot of relatives prying around and a string of confounded visitors hanging on the bell. I might find somewhere where I can finish my book. I have thought of a nice ending for it. And he lived happily ever after to the end of his days. Gandalf laughed.
I hope he will. But nobody will read the book, however it ends.
Oh, they may in years to come. Frodo has read some already, as far as it has gone. You'll keep an eye on Frodo, won't you?
Yes, I will. Two eyes, as often as I can spare them.
He would come with me, of course, if I asked him. In fact, he offered to once, just before the party. But he doesn't really want to, yet. I want to see the wild country again before I die, and the mountains. But he's still in love with the shire, with woods and fields and little rivers. He ought to be comfortable here. I'm leaving everything to him, of course, except a few oddments. I hope he'll be happy when he gets used to being on his own. It's time he was his own master now.
Everything, said Gandalf. The ring as well. You agreed to that, you remember?
Well, yes, I suppose so, stammered Bilbo.
Where is it?
In an envelope, if you must know, said Bilbo impatiently. There, on the mantelpiece. Well, no, here it is in my pocket.
He hesitated. Isn't that odd now? He said softly to himself.
Yet, after all, why not? Why shouldn't it stay there?
Gandalf looked again very hard at Bilbo, and there was a gleam in his eyes. I think, Bilbo, he said quietly, I should leave it behind. Don't you want to?
Well, yes. And no. Now it comes to it, I don't like parting with it at all, I may say, and I don't really see why I should. Why do you want me to?
He asked, and a curious change came over his voice. It was sharp with suspicion and annoyance.
You're always badgering me about my ring, but you've never bothered me about the other things that I got on my journey.
No, but I had to badger you, said Gandalf. I wanted the truth. It was important. Magic rings are, well, magical. and they are rare and curious. I was professionally interested in your ring, you may say, and I still am. I should like to know where it is, if you go wandering again. Also, I think you have had it quite long enough. You won't need it any more, Bilbo, unless I'm quite mistaken. Bilbo flushed, and there was an angry light in his eyes. His kindly face grew hard.
Why not? He cried. And what business is it of yours, anyway, to know what I do with my own things? It is my own. I found it. It came to me.
Yes, yes, said Gandalf, but there is no need to get angry.
If I am, it is your fault, said Bilbo. It is mine, I tell you, my own, my precious. Yes, my precious.
The wizard's face remained grave and attentive, and only a flicker in his deep eyes showed that he was startled and indeed alarmed. "It has been called that before," he said, "but not by you."
"But I say it now, and why not, even if Gollum said the same once? It's not his now, but mine, and I shall keep it, I say."
Gandalf stood up. He spoke sternly. "You will be a fool if you do, Bilbo," he said.
You make that clearer with every word you say. It has got far too much hold on you. Let it go, and then you can go yourself and be free.
I'll do as I choose and go as I please, said Bilbo obstinately.
Now, now, my dear hobbit, said Gandalf. All your life we have been friends and you owe me something. Come, do as you promised. Give it up.
Well, if you want my ring yourself, say so, cried Bilbo. But you won't get it. I won't give my precious away, I tell you.
His hand strayed to the hilt of his small sword. Gandalf's eyes flashed.
It will be my turn to get angry soon, he said. If you say that again, I shall. Then you will see Gandalf the Grey uncloaked.
He took a step toward the hobbit, and he seemed to grow tall and menacing. His shadow filled the little room. Bilbo backed away to the wall, breathing hard, his hand clutching at his pocket. They stood for a while facing one another, and the air of the room tingled. Gandalf's eyes remained bent on the hobbit. Slowly his hands relaxed, and he began to tremble.
I don't know what has come over you, Gandalf, he said. You've never been like this before. What's it all about? It is mine, isn't it? I found it, and Gollum would have killed me if I hadn't kept it. I'm not a thief, whatever he said.
I've never called you one, Gandalf answered. And I'm not one either. I'm not trying to rob you, but to help you. I wish you'd trust me as you used.
He turned away, and the shadow passed. He seemed to dwindle again to an old grey man, bent and troubled. Bilbo drew his hand over his eyes.
I am sorry, he said. But I felt so queer. And yet it would be a relief in a way not to be bothered with it any more. It has been so growing on my mind lately. Sometimes I have felt it was like an eye looking at me. And I'm always wanting to put it on and disappear, don't you know? Wondering if it's safe and pulling it out to make sure. I tried locking it up, but I found I couldn't rest without it in my pocket. I don't know why, and I don't seem able to make up my mind.
Then trust mine, said Gandalf. It's quite made up. Go away and leave it behind. Stop possessing it. Give it to Frodo, and I will look after him.
Bilbo stood for a moment, tense and undecided. Presently he sighed.
All right, he said with an effort. I will.
Then he shrugged his shoulders and smiled rather ruefully.
After all, that's what this party business was all about, really. To give away lots of birthday presents and somehow make it easier to give it away at the same time. It hasn't made it any easier in the end, but it would be a pity to waste all my preparations. It would quite spoil the joke.
Indeed, it would take away the only point I ever saw in the affair, said Gandalf.
Very well, said Bilbo. It goes to Frodo with all the rest.
He drew a deep breath. But now I really must be starting, or somebody else will catch me. I've said goodbye, and I couldn't bear to do it all over again. He picked up his bag and moved to the door.
You have still got the ring in your pocket, said the wizard.
Well, so I have, cried Bilbo. And my will and all the other documents, too. You'd better take it and deliver it for me. That will be safest.
No, don't give the ring to me, said Gandalf. Put it on the mantelpiece. It will be safe enough there till Frodo comes. I shall wait for him. Bilbo took out the envelope, but just as he was about to set it by the clock, his hand jerked back and the packet fell on the floor. Before he could pick it up, the wizard stooped and seized it and set it in its place. A spasm of anger passed swiftly over the hobbit's face again. Suddenly, it gave way to a look of relief and a laugh.
Well, that's that, he said. Now I'm off.
They went out into the hall. Bilbo chose his favorite stick from the stand. Then he whistled. Three dwarves came out of different rooms where they had been busy.
Is everything ready? Asked Bilbo. Everything packed and labeled?
Everything, they answered.
Well, let's start then.
He stepped out of the front door. It was a fine night, and the black sky was dotted with stars. He looked up, sniffing the air.
What fun! What fun to be off again, off on the road with dwarves! This is what I've really been longing for years. Goodbye, he said, looking at his old home and bowing to the door. Goodbye, Gandalf.
Goodbye for the present, Bilbo. Take care of yourself. You're old enough and perhaps wise enough.
Take care? I don't care. Don't you worry about me. I'm as happy now as I've ever been, and that is saying a great deal. But the time has come. I'm being swept off my feet at last, he added.
And then in a low voice, as if to himself, he sang softly in the dark.
The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow if I can. Pursuing it with eager feet, until it joins some larger way, where many paths and errands meet, and whither then I cannot say.
He paused, silent for a moment. Then, without another word, he turned away from the lights and voices in the fields and tents, and, followed by his three companions, went round into his garden and trotted down the long, sloping path. He jumped over a low place in the hedge at the bottom and took to the meadows, passing into the night like a rustle of wind in the grass. Gandalf remained for a while, staring after him into the darkness.
Goodbye, my dear Bilbo. Until our next meeting, he said softly and went back indoors.
Frodo came in soon afterwards and found him sitting in the dark, deep in thought. Has he gone? He asked.
Yes, answered Gandalf. He's gone at last.
I hoped until this evening that it was only a joke, said Frodo. But I knew in my heart that he really meant to go. He always used to joke about serious things. I wish I'd come back sooner, just to see him off.
I think really he preferred slipping off quietly in the end, said Gandalf. Don't be too troubled. He'll be all right now. He left a packet for you. There it is.
Frodo took the envelope from the mantelpiece and glanced at it, but did not open it.
You'll find his will and all the other documents in there, I think, said the wizard. You are the master of Bag End now, and also, I fancy, you'll find a golden ring.
The ring! Exclaimed Frodo. Has he left me that? I wonder why. Still, it may be useful.
It may, and it may not," said Gandalf. "I should not make use of it if I were you. But keep it secret, and keep it safe. Now I'm going to bed." As master of Bag End, Frodo felt it his painful duty to say goodbye to the guests. Rumors of strange events had by now spread all over the field, but Frodo would only say, "No doubt everything will be cleared up in the morning." About midnight, carriages came for the important folk. One by one, they rolled away, filled with full but very unsatisfied hobbits. Gardeners came by arrangement and removed in wheelbarrows those that had inadvertently remained behind. Night slowly passed. The sun rose. The hobbits rose rather later. Morning went on. People came and began, by orders, to clear away the pavilions and the tables and the chairs, and the spoons and knives and bottles and plates, and the lanterns, and the flowering shrubs in boxes, and the crumbs and cracker paper, the forgotten bags and gloves and handkerchiefs, and the uneaten food, a very small item. Then a number of other people came, without orders. Bagginses and Boffins and Bulgers and Tooks, and other guests that lived or were staying near. By midday, when even the best-fed were out and about again, there was a large crowd at Bag End, uninvited but not unexpected. Frodo was waiting on the step, smiling, but looking rather tired and worried. He welcomed all the callers, but he hadn't much more to say than before. His reply to all inquiries was simply this: "Mr. Bilbo Baggins has gone away, as far as I know, for good." Some of the visitors he invited to come inside, as Bilbo had left messages for them. Inside in the hall there was piled a large assortment of packages and parcels and small articles of furniture. On every item there was a label tied. There were several labels of this sort: "For Adelard Took," "For his very own, from Bilbo," on an umbrella. Adelard had carried off many unlabeled ones. "For Dora Baggins, in memory of a long correspondence, with love from Bilbo," on a large waste paper basket. Dora was Drogo's sister and eldest surviving female relative of Bilbo and Frodo. She was 99 and had written reams of good advice for more than half a century. "For Milo Burrows, hoping it would be useful, from B.B., on a gold pen and ink bottle." Milo never answered letters. "For Angelica's use, from Uncle Bilbo, on a round convex mirror." She was a young Baggins, and too obviously considered her face shapely. "For the collection of Hugo Bracegirdle, from a contributor, on an empty bookcase." Hugo was a great borrower of books, and worse than usual at returning them. "For Lobelia Sackville Baggins, as a present, on a case of silver spoons." Bilbo believed that she had acquired a good many of his spoons while he was away on his former journey. Lobelia knew that quite well. When she arrived later in the day, she took the point at once, but she also took the spoons. This is only a small selection of the assembled presents. Bilbo's residence had got rather cluttered up with things in the course of his long life. It was a tendency of hobbit holes to get cluttered up, for which the custom of giving so many birthday presents was largely responsible. Not, of course, that the birthday presents were always new. There were one or two old mathems of forgotten uses that had circulated all round the district, but Bilbo had usually given new presents and kept those that he received. The old hole was now being cleared a little. Every one of the various parting gifts had labels, written out personally by Bilbo, and several had some point or some joke. But, of course, most of the things were given where they would be wanted and welcome. the poorer hobbits, and especially the